The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mullen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms. Hi, guys. It's Jenny. I hope this is recording because I just actually did this whole podcast and I just found out that it didn't record. The podcast is called All the Fails and I'm already failing doing a podcast. Today, I wanted to just give you like sort of an idea of what you are going to be experiencing here, what you're going to get from me. This is a show about failure in all its various forms. It's about, maybe it's just my age, but I recently just became obsessed with the idea of the hero's journey and sort of like looking at my life in terms of like, okay, I've crossed the threshold. I like had the mentor die. My first dog, Mr. Teets, like he couldn't come with me once I had Sid. I knew I had to lose him. I had to like step into adulthood and sort of face these unknowns by myself. Now I feel like I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm like dealing with like, you know, Tess allies and enemies and just like the various challenges that come with being an adult. And I thought, God, like, why are there not podcasts about failure? That's what I want to hear about. Like, I don't really want to hear about people's success stories. Like, yeah, it's cool. But what's more interesting is hearing about the times that they hit rock bottom and had to pivot, like hearing about like the stuff that broke their hearts, the mistakes they made. Because like when I look at my life, I don't like talk about it in terms of like, well, I achieved this. I always sort of think of how did I get out of that mess? Or like, how did I grow as a person? And when I think about that, it's always come from defeats and failures and mistakes. Like we are all of us just walking around like a giant patchwork of our disappointments and mistakes. Like that's where the good stuff happens. That's how we grow. That's, you know, without resistance, you can't really grow. Without resistance, you're basically like one of those chicks at SoulCycle who's like lifting a 2-pound weight and spinning your heart out going, I'm going to have Linda Hamilton arms one day with this 2-pound weight. Like without resistance, you're never bulking up. Like you'd have better luck going into the locker room and finding one of those current scented candles and like bench pressing that because the 2-pounders aren't getting you there. So this is about heavy stuff. This is about the heavy shit. This is about like the stuff that the insurmountable odds that we have to overcome to sort of get to the top of the mountain. And I wanted to start things off by sharing. I think I'm always going to start off by telling you like a fuck up of mine that I've done that week or sharing a fuck up of yours. Like you guys can definitely send in fails and we can discuss them as a group. But I wanted to just share this story with you guys because it is just such a priceless fucking fail of mine. Oh God, where to begin? All right. So if you aren't mortified by the person you were in your 20s, my question to you is, did you really live them? I don't think that any of us can look back at the girl that we were and say like, I wish I was still her. I mean, like, I wish I still had her body, like the body that I was hiding in Juicy Couture sweatpants. Like, I wish I still had that bod, no stretch marks, like perky boobs, the whole shebang that I never took advantage of because I didn't want to be sexualized because that just like would traumatize me and remind me of my mom. But other than that, like, I really am so glad that I'm not her anymore because she was batshit fucking crazy. This particular fail took place 2 years ago. I was in Mexico vacationing with this friend of mine, Evelyn, and she mentioned to me, she goes to school with my ex-boyfriend and her kids go to school with his kids. And she said, I saw Luke and Kim and Jenny, every time they see me, they act like I'm the fucking devil. They freak out. He physically shakes. Like he thinks that like I swear he changes sides of the street when he sees me coming. And it's all because of you. Like, why does everybody hate me? Because of you. She basically thinks that like, because we're very close, that I like burnt a bunch of bridges in LA and then moved out of town. And now like she's paying for like all the mistakes and sins that I made. She's like very angry with me. She's like, why does everybody hate me because of you? And I'm laughing and I'm laughing. And I basically said, you know, Evelyn, like an ex who won't speak to you is an ex who isn't over you. So let's like turn this negative. Let's make lemonade out of this situation. It's kind of hilarious, isn't it? That like after 15 fucking years of not speaking to these people, they want nothing to do with you just because you know me. Like that's kind of fucking flattering. And she's like, no, it's weird. Like you definitely did something to them. And I'm racking my brain going like, what would I have done to them? Like, I know that when we first broke up, okay, I'll take you back. Like I've met this girl, Kim, once in my life. I broke up with this boyfriend of mine, Luke, who I was with for 4.5 years. We had a dog together. We lived together. I broke up with him basically because he wasn't Jason. Like he just wasn't exactly what we were very similar, but like, he just like wasn't what I needed. Like I needed who I ended up with. And this person, while like I loved this person was not that. So I ended the relationship, but I thought like, we'll always be best friends, right? I'm always going to be in your life. I'm basically, you promised you would die without me. So like eventually I'll resuscitate you and I'll find somebody for you. And like, I'll walk you down the aisle at your wedding and all will be good. What I didn't account for was that this girl, Kim, would not want Luke to be friends with his ex-girlfriend that broke up with him. Like that she might have a problem with that. How insane of me to think that. I mean, how preposterous that she might have a problem. Can you tell where I'm coming from? Like, I'm like, how crazy of me to think that. No, it's like, Jenny, you were the crazy one. Nobody likes to have an ex-girlfriend around, especially one that stirs the pot, especially one that is a fucking writer who uses everything in her life to like make comedy. Like, get away from me and my new boyfriend. I don't want you involved. But, you know, at 28 years old, again, I wanted what I wanted. I was petulant and I had abandonment issues. I mean, I have two parents that are just like so self-involved that like they were both living their own lives and I was sort of just left on my own to figure it out. I mean, I wanted the mom from the tampon commercials, but in the end I had to learn how to use a tampon by reading the back of the box. You know what I mean? Like that's where I was coming from. And this guy, he was 4 years older than me. I saw him as like this surrogate parent figure. And then all of a sudden he was with this new woman who didn't like me. And I had to win her over. I couldn't handle that like mommy was rejecting me. It's like, I'm the kind of person where New York is like the perfect city for me because like everyone's a dick to you before they know you. Like if they don't know you, the lady at CVS is going to just like be an asshole to you. Or like the dry cleaner or like the tailor, like they're just going to be like rude and like, what do you want? Give me your shit. Okay, here's your change. And that is the type of personality that I am drawn to because it presents me with the perfect challenge. I instantly engage and become obsessed with making that person fall in love with me. Whether I have to bring you croissants every day, buy you coffee, gift you little Alice and Olivia things that I have lying around my house, I don't care. I will win you over. I will become your favorite patron. I don't know what this flaw is about, but like for me, I think it has something to do with like, you know, needing mommy to love me. So when this chick wanted nothing to do with me, I was outraged. I was like indignant. I was like causing all sorts of drama that I didn't at the time. I don't think I realized I thought I was harmless when I made a short film about accidentally kidnapping her in an attempt to make me like me. I literally did that. I was like, this is harmless. It's funny. It's a love letter to you. Even though in the film, I say something along the lines of, sure, I mean, I'm obviously much cuter than her. But other than that, she has no reason not to love me. Like, guys, what was I smoking? Of course, this chick hated me. But that was 15 years ago. I would say that like I would have stayed focused on them, but I really didn't because I had a bigger fish to fry. Enter Baz, Jason's ex-girlfriend, who at the time when Jason and I first got together, she was still in love with Jason. And for me, dating a guy that was famous was like a very, it was not a healthy move. Being like a firstborn child, an overachiever, I was like, you know, I was a theater major. I wanted attention desperately from my parents. I never got it. And now here I am with a guy that like fully eclipses me no matter where we are. You walk into a room. I was like this like 28-year-old chick. And like, I thought I was pretty cute. I walk in a room. Everyone's like, can you hold my baby while I take a photo with Jason Biggs? It was degrading, horrible, made me feel like shit. I did not have the ego strength to handle it. But what Jason did offer me was a true gift in the form of his ex-girlfriend, because she became my number one fan. See, everyone in the world cared about Jason, including his ex, Baz. But Baz also was fixated on me because I was with him. So like, I suddenly had someone who gave a shit about me. I was like a plus one on everyone else's. I was Jason Biggs's plus one on like every guest list in town. But like to Baz, I was a series regular. I was like the romantic fucking lead. So I curated my online profile to things I thought that she might like. I tried to like pick out good music on my MySpace. I wanted to live up to the me that I was in this girl's head. I wanted to seem like larger than life, perfect. But when she started to get over Jason and obviously, you know, process the relationship and move on with her life like a normal human being, I panicked. And I'm like, Jason, do something cute. Like, we need to have her back. I need this girl to be pining for you, because if she stops pining for you, she's going to stop caring about me. Jason, of course, wanted nothing to do with that. So I spent the next 5 years sort of just like, I don't know. Let's just put it this way. Like, I wrangled this girl into like a real life relationship. I befriended her using a fake Facebook account. I like drove past her house every day, whatever. We ended up hiking Runyon Canyon together. I set her up on a date with my acting coach, and then I went on the date with them. There were just like a lot of things that, let's say, if she were crossing the street when she saw my friend Evelyn, I would fully understand and be like, yes, I deserve that. I was a dick to you. I completely exploited this poor woman for my comedy. I thought it was so funny and harmless and like amazing. And it gave me the best material because I was able to like build myself into this. Like, there was this like other persona that I used on Twitter where I was just like this like deranged, unhinged, ex-obsessed, crazy LA chick. And Baz was like a major part of that. So there is something I do feel there, like I deeply regret that I did that, even though it did sort of launch my career, but it was not nice. So when I'm like hearing that this chick, Kim, has a problem with me, I have to laugh because I'm thinking to myself the whole time, like, dude, I haven't thought about her in years. The person who should be saying this is Baz. So cut to, I leave Mexico. We go to Germany. Or we go to Austria, rather. Sounds like we're such like bougie people. I'm really normally just sitting on my bathroom floor covered in almond butter, like picking a chinsit. But like at this particular summer, let's just say, I don't know, it was busy. But I'm not really, don't judge me for it. I'm not really that much of a jet setter. So I'm in Austria. I wake up, I'm jet lagged. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm in a cold sweat. I look over at Jason and I'm like, Jason, I feel so terrible. Like I'm racking my brain thinking like, what did I do to Kim? Like I haven't thought about that chick in so long. Like, did I do something that I'm not remembering besides making the short film about her? Which I thought that I kind of apologized for at one point. He's like, I don't think so, Jenny. Like, why do you give a shit? Get over it. So I'm like really stressing. I'm kind of like, no, there's got to be something else. There's no way she's still upset about that. There's got to be something else I did to these poor people. And what is it? I need to remember. So Jason's like, Jenny, why don't you just, you know, Jason's sober. So he's like, Jenny, why don't you just write an amends, write a letter. Just apologizing for yourself. And then you can decide, we can talk about it and you can decide if you want to send it. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that could be a good idea. So I go down to the treadmill. I'm gone for like an hour and a half. I come back up and I'm like, Jason, I sent the letter. He's like, Jenny, what? Wait a minute. I'm your sponsor. Like, and I really shouldn't be your sponsor. But what the fuck, Jenny? Like, I thought we were going to talk about it. I show him the letter. It's like relatively innocuous. It's like cryptic, obviously, because I can't say to her, hey, Evelyn said you're weird to her. So I just kind of left it very like loose. I was like, dear Kim, I am so sorry that in my 20s, I believed that I could sort of have my cake and eat it too, that I could like, you know, have my new life with Jason, but also, you know, have my old life as well. And that I didn't see how at the time my actions were hurting you. And I just want you to know that the girl that I was is not the woman I became. And I'm deeply sorry for anything I might've done to you, right? Like that's sweet if it's not coming out of fucking nowhere. So I sent the letter and Jason's like, okay, yeah, I guess it's fine. And I immediately felt like 20 pounds lighter. I was like, God, I like was looking at the world differently, you guys. Literally, suddenly everything was technicolor. I'm like, Jason, amends are awesome. I want to send them to everyone. Like there's so many, I have to think of more people that need amends from me. And he's like, well, Jenny, just slow down. Okay. Don't go too fast with this. Like take this slowly. I'm in the pool. I'm with the kids. We're at this hotel. I'm looking around at the other moms and thinking like, God, I'm so much more evolved than you guys. I'm like a baby Buddha. I'm just like, I've really just like transcended. So I sit and I get on a lounger once my kids are, I don't know, doing something that I don't have to be like hawkeyeing them or like be freezing my ass off in the pool for. And I start shooting off other amends. I literally did. I sent one to like this high school ex-boyfriend. I sent one to this girl that I was really good friends with. I should actually have her on the podcast at some point. We were like best friends. And then I broke off the friendship because I didn't like the choices she was making with her life. But like, it wasn't fair of me. She reminded me of my mom and she was behaving the way that I thought my mom would behave. And I was mad about it. It was almost like, unfair though, because I'm like, you need to change so that I can have a corrective experience. So I apologized to her. And then I wrote this other ex-boyfriend and he wrote me back immediately just going, is it Yom Kippur? But you know, all in all, it was a great day. And like, just, I was on cloud nine. I go to bed. I sleep like a baby. I wake up the next morning. I open my windows, look at the grass, look at the Alps. Everything's just gorgeous and cute. Everything's just cuter in Austria. And then I pick up my phone, check my emails, and my heart literally drops. In my emails, you guys, is a letter from Kim, not addressed to me, addressed to this girl, Dara. I sent the email not directly to her because I didn't have her email address. I sent it to a girl that I knew her. I just said, can you pass this on my behalf? So this email was addressed to Dara and it just says, Dara, I'm so sorry that you've been brought into this. The person who sent that email is not well and goes on and on about how she has a history of stalking. Which I'm like, I do. She's like, she is obsessed with me. Years ago, I received a booklet of all of her tweets printed out from a concerned stranger telling me that this woman was fixated on me and my body and who I was. And I'm like, what in the fuck is this girl talking about? Like, I'm literally reading it thinking I'm hearing about somebody else. And now I'm like shaking because it did feel like so scary. It felt like very formal and just like cold. And I'm shaking and I'm like, oh my, what the fuck? What is she talking about? And then I kind of put it together just like by the thing she's saying, it's clear to me that she's like read my books and she's like taken every tweet I've ever made to be about her. So now I'm like, wait, who's like the crazy person? Is this fucking for real? So like this character that I created online that was like fully inspired by Baz, there's been another girl out there thinking that I was writing about her for the last however many years. Like, get an even. It was like, I was speechless. I run in. I'm waking up Jason. I'm like, Jason, you have to fucking read this. And he looks at it and he's reading it and he's shaking his head and he's just like, whoa, this chick's crazy. Thinking, I guess Luke has a type. So Jason can't really calm me down from this because this is just like such a stab. Like, it also, like, I think the part of it that killed me the most, it wasn't even like the accusations. It was the fact that, like, I sought this out. Like, I didn't need to know this information. I was trying to, like, do a good deed and kind of, like, make things easier on Evelyn, make this girl feel better, just kind of be like, everything's water under the bridge. And what I got in return was just like, by the way, there are people in the world that think you're dangerous, Jenny. And I'm like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? So I end up calling my therapist and she's like, Jenny, you never should have sent that amends. And I'm like, fuck Jason, fuck AA. He should just start drinking again. I can't believe this. The amends suck. She's like, no, but literally you sent this to this girl out of nowhere. She was probably scared to death if this is what she's been thinking for years. Like, guys, in the email that I got, there were printouts. Like, did she get these from a concerned stranger or did she literally go on my Twitter and print out hard copies that she still keeps of my tweets that she claims are about her? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Just posing that as a question to all. And Shondiza is like, Jenny, yeah, you look guilty. And there's really nothing you can do about it because she says clearly in the letter, if you are sorry, you will not reach out. You will not respond and you will not contact me. And so I'm stuck. I'm just like, okay, so I have to take the hit. And Shondiza says, yeah, you have to take the hit. There's no other way around this. Like, you have to just accept that this girl is going to hate you. Which is the hardest thing for me because I'm always like, no, I can win them over. Like, I don't want to be hated. But she said, if you're really sorry, you'll leave it alone. So that's what I did. It killed me for a few days. I had such an urge to defend myself, but like over time it lessened. And I kind of came to understand that, like, yes, the majority of people respond well to apologies, right? Like, they're happy to have their feelings and experiences validated. Unless they have some sort of need to hold on to that anger. Now, I don't know Kim, right? Like, I have no idea who she is. I've met her once in my life. Maybe for her to feel all good, I need to be all bad. And I think that sometimes the most generous thing you can do for another person is probably to just let them hate you. I'm mortified by the person that I was in my 20s. But if I weren't, like, who would I be today? And if life is about evolution and the point of our being here is to become something better, do we not need to start from a place of ignorance in order to have somewhere to grow? I believe we do. I have to believe that. And that's what this show is all about. It's about talking about the fuck ups, the mistakes, the embarrassing, painful moments that we sort of need if we ever want to be better. So that's my first one. I've got a lot of them. Come next week and you'll hear more. Thank you guys. Have a great week and see you soon.